Living Hope Assembly of God.
That's my cry for the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on me. I'm sure that's all of our cry today, for the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on us, to move how He desires to move, to stir in the hearts of every individual here. If you're here today, just make your hearts ready for what God is wanting to do. I feel God is speaking already to the hearts of His people. Father, this morning I bind every spirit that's not like You. Father, I pray that You would have Your way, God. We surrender. We surrender. Why don't we say that together? Say, Lord, we surrender. God, whatever You're wanting to do, stir in this place, Holy Spirit. Be glorified, God. Be magnified. God, You know that we are sinful people, God. We come before You. You're holy. You're not like us. You're not like us, God. We reverence that this morning, Holy Spirit. Quieten our spirits this morning, God. Stir us, God. Stir us, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Be glorified, Jesus. Be glorified, God. Be glorified, Ancient of Days. Be glorified, King of Kings. Be glorified, Lord of Lords. Be glorified in this house, God. We worship You, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, God. You're worthy, God. There's none like You, Jesus. God, we're not worthy of Your praise, God. We're not worthy, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. You're worthy, oh God, Emmanuel. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, God. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, be glorified in this house. Jesus, be glorified. Be glorified in this city. Yes. Be glorified, Jesus. May religion die in this city. In Jesus' name. Feel the presence of God in this place. Shit. I don't want to do anything out of order, but I want to be in order with what God is wanting to do. It's time for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, because not everybody came just out of obligation. Some people came out of desperation. And I want God to move and stir in their hearts this morning. I don't ever want to come inside of the house of God just out of a religious habit. But I want God to stir in my heart. I want God to stir in your heart. I want God to change me because I'm tired of who I am. I don't know about you. I want to be more like my daddy. I want to be more like Jesus. If you're here today, allow the Holy Spirit to stir in your hearts this morning. Allow Him to move in your hearts this morning. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Jesus is worthy. Listen, I don't know how you were brought up. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your traditions, but my traditions is that I praise Him from the rising of the sun. That I praise Him from the going down of the same sun. I praise him because he is worthy. When I think about where I come from, I don't know where you come from, but I know where I come from. I come from a very lowly place in life. I come from the drug house. I come from the crack house. I come from unlikely places, and God snatched me out of the pits of hell, and he has seated me in heavenly places with him. I don't know about you, but I am thankful this morning. I am thankful. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're not just going to sit there. Do you hear me? We're going to be worshiping him. When we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping him all the time. If you're not excited about him now, if I'm not excited about him now, I don't know if I'm going to be excited there. Do I deserve to go there? No. Do you deserve to go there? No, none of us deserve heaven. All of us deserve hell. Every single one of us. It's because of his grace and mercy. You have been afforded and given the possibility and the chance to go to heaven and to be with our Heavenly Father. And today I am thankful. Today I'm excited. I'm not going to heaven just by merely a prayer that I said 15 years ago. I'm going to heaven because of the blood, that Jesus Christ gave his blood for me. I am going because he bought my salvation. He bought my hope with his blood. Listen, there's nothing more powerful than the blood. Your mistakes are not powerful than the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. And today, if you're covered in the blood, you're more powerful than you ever have been. But at the same time, you're as weak as you ever have been, because your dependency is not on yourself. Your dependency is on Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the final atonement, the propitiation for your sins and my sins. And this morning, I don't know what you have been going through, but I know what I've been going through. And whatever you're going through, he cares. And today he's going to speak to you in Jesus' name. I want to pray right now for Sister Kim's husband, John, who's getting ready to have a surgery. Am I correct? Test. We want to pray that God will work a miracle in his life, that God will totally clear everything out of his body if there's anything there that shouldn't be there. We want to pray for a supernatural miracle in his life. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And we're just going to pray. If you have sickness in your body, I want to pray right now. We're going to pray for sickness. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray that God will touch every person's body in this house that may be sick. And at the end of this service, we're going to make another altar call for whatever you're wanting prayer for, as the Holy Spirit moves and stirs in our heart. Let's pray for John this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask that you touch John's body. God, you see the ins and the outs of whatever's going on. The things that are not regular, you see them. God, I pray right now that you will work a miracle in his life. I come against cancer in Jesus' name. I bind that in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you will be with him when he go and have those tests ran. I pray for a supernatural miracle in his body. And God, for every person that may be sick in their body in this house today, I pray for healing in their body in Jesus' name. You are our healer. God, by your stripes we're healed. God, there's healing in your wings. God, I pray today, God, that under the sound of my voice and by their faith today, God, that they are healed in Jesus' name, delivered and set free in Jesus' name. Whether if that's a spiritual healing or a physical healing, be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus told the woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Today be loosed from your infirmity in Jesus' name. God, have your way, and we give you the honor the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to go back to Luke chapter 21 again. And we're going to try to wrap this up this week. We've been in it the last few weeks. Luke chapter 21, very, very familiar passage of scripture if you've been here. Again, thank you all for being here this morning. Father, this morning I pray, God, that you will anoint your word, God, so that I will speak it accurately, God, according to what you desire to say in this house. And God, I pray that every one of us will leave this house, God, with something fresh about what you desire to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we there? Amen. We have some, this is not good. We have the board member, one of my board members sitting in the back. This is really odd. Anyways, we have people serving all over the church. People are really connecting, and we are excited about that. Listen, if you want to be a part of this church, if you have not made this your church home, and if that's what you want to do, talk with one of us. We'll get you a membership application. You can fill that out, and we'll make that happen for you. God is doing some increase inside of the house, and we're ready for that. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. He also saw a poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all those out of their abundance have put in their gifts for God. But she out of her poverty has put in all the living she had. She put in everything that she had. While we were sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, I really believe that there are some people here this morning. He's honored with how much you're giving of your time, your efforts for him. I believe some of us are going through some difficult situations in our lives, and there are some things that we really just don't understand that are hard right now, that are going on in our lives, that are difficult, but we're still giving our all to God. No matter where you're at this morning, no matter who you are, this question is very relevant for all of us this morning. And I'm going to ask it again for the third week. How much are you willing to give to and for the kingdom of God? If every one of us this morning are not willing to say, I'm willing to give my life, that's a problem. Every one of us should say, God, I'm willing to give you everything. That means someone who is sold out. Are you sold out this morning? Or are you fed up with the way things are going in your life? And due to a turn of events, instead of trusting God, you've stopped trusting him. And you have stopped giving him everything that he deserves. I've looked at the membership role of this church. The house should be filled with people. But somewhere along the way, some of those people have walked away from God. Some of them are going to different churches and doing different things and are living for God. But unfortunate as it is, I dare to say the greater majority of any church's role, membership role, I dare to say that there's a greater majority a lot of times have dropped off and they're not serving God anymore. They're not giving God what is due to him. And if we all never come to that place where we say, God, whatever you want from me, I'm willing to give it. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Listen, if we're not at that place before we leave here today, we need to have our minds made up. God, for you I live, and for you I am willing to die. And we need to draw the line in the sand and say, I am not going no further unless God goes with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, that's a dedication. That's a dedication that's beyond our comprehension. That's saying, God, I don't care what comes my way. I am going to serve you with every aspect of my life and my being. Whether that's in good health, bad health, kind of like marriage, isn't it? Really, it is a marriage. Really, it is a marriage. Really, when you get in this thing, it is to death do you part. But in this case, it's not death do we part. It's death we slip into eternity and we never part. That's our relationship with God. And as those who are being born again or is born again, we consistently groan to be with God. We consistently groan for God's kingdom to be revealed in our lifetime. Why? Because our hearts are connected with his heart. If you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your veins, you start to pick up the DNA of who Jesus is. You start to pick up the character traits of who Jesus is, and you start to emulate who Jesus is on this earth. You start to sell yourself out. Who was sold out more than anybody? Jesus. He was our greatest example. He couldn't give anything else but himself. The Bible says that he emptied himself. Are we empty today? I'm not talking about empty mouth kids, but I'm talking about, are we empty of ourselves today? We need to be. We need to make up in our mind and say, God, I am empty today. I'm emptying myself. Before I leave here, I am not going to stop until I get to a place of empty. When you are empty, nothing else can be in there. And when nothing else is in there, that means that nothing else can affect you in the wrong way. And or it can, if it comes to affect you, it will not have the results of negativity that will take you away from God. Do you hear me this morning? How much are we willing to give? Isn't that odd? We live in a day and time. We live in a world. We live in America where everybody wants to get, but nobody wants to give. See, the power in America is geared by how much you get, how big your banking account is, how big your home is, how big your family is. But in the kingdom of God, it's how much you give away. How much are you willing to give? That's where real power resides, in the family of God. Last week, we really went into detail. We talked about this rich man who built these gigantic barns so that he could store all of his wealth inside of them. And what did Jesus call this rich man? Why did he call him a fool? Yes. Listen, when we as the body of Christ fail to empty ourselves so that someone else can have what God has given us, in essence, we're being foolish. You can't take any of yourself with you. You can't take any of your possessions. You, in essence, listen, why in the world? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. Excitement about Jesus is inside of us. Why do we want to hold it in? We should want to let it go. Jeremiah, at the worst point of his life, he said it was like fire shut up in my bones. Listen, Jeremiah said, really, I don't want to speak his word again. But he said, when I wanted to quit, I couldn't, because it was like fire shut up in my bones. Listen, God has a word inside of your mouth. He's wanting you to give it to someone. You have life or death inside of your mouth. You can speak it or you can choose to keep it in. I choose to speak life. I choose to give somebody life because the hope of glory is inside of me. I choose to give somebody hope. I don't care if they don't like me. I choose to give them hope. I choose to pray for people. I choose to dedicate myself to the things of God so that I can be disciplined enough to hear the voice of God. Do you hear me? There are people right now that probably don't like me at all, But if they let me know they don't like me, what I need to do is I need to pray for them. I need to give them to God in prayer. Did you hear me? I said give them to God in prayer. What our problem is, a lot of times instead of giving them to God, we hold on to them. And we tie them around our backs and we walk around with them on our backs. Kind of like a dead body. What happens to a dead body? It rots. And that's how holding on to unforgiveness is. You're holding on to this corpse instead of giving it to God. That's kind of gross, isn't it? You're like, God's going to go home like, man, he's talking about corpses. Can you just picture all the, ugh. Starts to swell. It's like, dude, let it go. Give it to God. Stop holding on to it. If you want to build God's kingdom, you got to learn to let it go. You can't get anywhere. That's one thing I hate so much. How in the world can we worship God and give God praises at the same time we hate our brothers and sisters? The Bible says that we need to leave our gift at the and go back and make reconciliation with our brother. Ooh. Let's keep going. So we found out that, we talked about it last week, the tri-model of the church. It's the upward, the inward, and the outward. And I talked about most churches around this world, we're doing a lousy job at the outward. We're not going out like we should. And I gave you a quote, a saying, a heart cannot sustain life to the body if it is not pumping blood in and out. Do you hear that? We have come close to perfecting the upward and the inward part of doing church. But it's the outward. What if a heart is not pumping blood out? What kind of heart is that? Huh? Say it louder. It's a dead heart. It's not alive. It's not alive. If you're expecting to be loved and never give love back, if you're expecting someone to always be in your corner and you're never in another person's corner, if you're expecting someone to like you and to be friendly towards you and you're the meanest person on the face of the planet, will anyone like you? Or will they like you for very long? The greatest commission in the world has been given by our Lord because the Holy Spirit came and indwelled us, but he said, in essence, don't keep it to yourselves, but go out and share it with the world. Are we really doing that? Huh? That's a question. Are we really being what God has called us to be? I promise you, the Apostle Paul said that we are in the last days, and I'm saying it this morning, that we are in the last days. But that doesn't mean that you pack your bags and get ready to go, but that means that you put your running shoes on and you go to every neighbor, every enemy, every person that you can think of, and you begin to share the gospel with them. When you think of someone in the middle of the night, you begin to give them to the Lord in prayer. Why don't we give God a meal every, oh my goodness, ouch, give God a meal every now and then. Push that plate back. Is this hard preaching? It's good preaching. We all need this. Listen, if we're going to be spiritually healthy, we need this. We need God to penetrate our hearts and create a discipline inside of us. Are we going to get there overnight? We're going to get there in time. Amen? Amen. We're going to be patient. We're going to be diligent in doing what the things God has called us to do. And we're going to love each other the way that we should. We're going to represent the kingdom of God. We're going to be there for each other. We're going to support each other. We're going to speak to each other outside of church. We're going to give time to each other. We're going to fellowship with each other. We're going to invite each other over to our homes, and we're going to have times of communion with each other outside of the building. We're going to give ourselves to each other. Listen, we talked about it in Sunday school. I don't want you running in my face, giving me a word from God, and you never talk to me outside of the building. Amen. I don't need you telling me, thus saith the Lord, and you ain't never bought me a Starbucks coffee. Thus saith the Lord to me over there at Scooters. No, really. All jokes aside, listen, the first century church, they were given to each other. They spent more time with each other than they did with anybody outside in a known world. You want to build a relationship with someone, spend time with them. And all the husbands said, amen. We got to get there. But this morning, we're going to drive home a few points before the time evades us. This is, if you're taking notes, when Jesus was in that temple, when he was looking at that lady as she got ready to give, the Bible says he bragged on her. He nudged other disciples and said, man, those rich guys are giving a lot. But that little widow, she's giving even more. What do you mean she's giving even more? She only gave two stinking mites. She wasn't giving more. Jesus said, boys, listen, you're spiritually blind. Look, I want you to look into the heart of the matter. See, I want to let you know today that somebody that doesn't look like you, but you want them to be up here, but God is satisfied with them being right here. That's over somebody's head this morning. You want them to be up here, but God sees their effort that they came from here, but they're only here. See, because God is looking at the heart of the matter. You're looking, a lot of times instead of us looking at the heart of the matter, we're judging someone by our standards. See, that's what the Pharisees got in trouble for. They wanted people to do things that they themselves could not achieve. They wanted people to look like them instead of looking like God. They wanted to force rules and regulations on people because it made them feel better when they see those individuals fail. See, we can judge ourselves and say, listen, look at this individual. They're not like me. Listen, I can do this and I can do that. And the whole time God is looking at your heart and saying, you're filled with pride and you have not completely given yourself to me. My favorite saying is, good morning. Are we here this morning? Who's ready to be the real church? Will the real church please stand up? Listen, I promise you, if we start to live like Jesus desires for us to live, I promise you we'll see lives changed. If we keep living the way we think we need to live, instead of living the way God desires for us to live, we'll consistently see people pass by our church and go to the local fishing place and catch some big crappie, or whatever they do. I like the fish, ice fish. Write this down. God is also interested in our failure to give. I wonder how that breaks God's heart. Have you ever thought about that? When we know we can feel the urging from the Holy Spirit, the prompting, the tugging. And you know what a lot of times we say? That's just the pizza I ate. That's not God talking to me. That's just a good idea, but that's not really God. Oh, I can do it on another time. I'm kind of busy right now. Maybe somebody else will do it. God is interested in your failure to give. God is interested in my failure to give. In verse 20, God tells the rich man, In Luke chapter 12, we were there the other day. He tells the rich man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Why did God call this man a fool? I believe because of his love for money overshadowed his love for God and others. His money stood here, and God stood behind his money, and others stood behind God. He totally overlooked the first and greatest command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It is as simple as that. He also failed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of those things would have been added to him. The next thing I want you to write down, God is interested in our sacrifice to him. God is interested in our sacrifice to him. Verses 43 through 44 says, this woman gave two mites. One source says that a mite was the smallest of the Jewish coins and worth about 1/5 of a cent in our money today. Two mites were equal in worth to a farthing, the smallest of the Roman coins, and worth about 2/5 of a cent in our money today. This woman gave 2/5 of a cent and was praised by the Lord for her gift over the others who came and gave much more money. Why? Why was this the case? Because Jesus saw in her gift something that he did not see in the others' gifts. He saw real sacrifice and selflessness. The question again this week is, when Jesus looked into your life and what you do and what you say, what does he really see? The Bible tells us that we can gain the whole world and lose our soul. You can do a whole lot of things inside of the church and miss heaven altogether. Why do you do what you do? Why do you give what you give? And what kind of heart are you giving it from? Do we give because we desire praises from men? Do we give because we desire praises from God? Or do we give because we just want to honor him? When it comes to real sacrifice, most of us know nothing about real sacrifice. Every hand and foot should go up in here. Because we were born, and we're not like the poorest countries in the world. In reality, in respect to every third world country in the world, it's almost like every one of us, even if we were poor, we were born with a silver spoon in our mouth compared to some nations. We give God in a year less than what we give to feed our pets and bad habits. Let's just be honest. If we were to add up the amount of money that we spend on a cup of coffee and entertainment alone, the average would be in the thousands. Hello? Let's think about that for a moment. The entertainment and the things that we do to satisfy ourselves, I'm not trying to condemn anybody this morning. I want you to understand. I'm just trying to bring us into a place of reality in how fortunate we are and how we really could be making a better sacrifice with our time and with our money and with our lives to build the kingdom of God. Your life is just like a vapor. It is here one moment, and the next minute it is gone. And what you do with your life is going to mean eternity for you and for somebody else. And when we stand before the King of Glory, he's going to ask you to give an account with what you did with your life. God, I went to the movies more than I did anything else. I enjoyed baseball and basketball more than I enjoyed. I really like eating pizza, Lord. And I like to drink coffee. I like to do this, and I like to do that. And somebody give me one amen. Amen. According to David Gregg, senior editor behind thebuy.com, the average cost for a single cup of nationally long recognized coffee is $3.25. Gregg says that the cost for one purchase per five-day work week is $16.25. This would average to $65 a month and $780 a year that we spend just on coffee alone, the average person. The truth is, most people consume more than one cup of coffee a day. My question this morning is, where is our mind frame? What are we thinking about? The saying is, if you pull out the average pocketbook and look into the check register, you will find where a person's heart really is. Now imagine how many more missionaries and starving children we could individually support every year if we were to give more to the kingdom of God. What really matters? The cup of coffee you drink, you feel good for a moment, and you throw the cup away. You give $5 in an offering to support sex trafficking, you change your life forever. You give to BGMC, you change lives forever and for eternity. You give to Light for the Lost, you change lives forever. You support missions around the world, you change lives forever. It only takes one person's life to be changed for millions to be affected by it. See, the devil knows that. He wants it to continue to be about us. He wants it to continue to be about what can you do for me instead of what can I do for you. I'm not trying to bring a guilt trip. I'm just trying to bring a reality trip into all of us. We need to wake up, church. Let this year be a year of sacrifice. Let this year for us be the greatest year of living hope. Amen. Let this church be known for being the church that gives God its all. Amen. Amen. Let's be that church, guys. Listen, I could be doing a whole lot of good things right about now, but I'm sitting up here preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to get finished before 12 o'clock, and if you give me about 10 more amens, we might be able to wrap this thing up. Romans 12 and 1. Therefore, I urge you, very familiar passage of Scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy. Somebody say holy. Holy. Ooh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. So that means that, in other words, that I have to let some stuff go. That means that I have to let some me go. And if you're the wrong person, I'm going to have to let some you go. That's a car too, isn't it? Never driven one. Probably don't want to. Guys, listen. Sacrifice. Real sacrifice means it hurts. Sometimes, have you ever given so much to an individual that it hurts? Have you ever loved someone so much and never got love back? Have you ever cried at night and like, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to go to church anyway? Listen, that's giving. That's real sacrifice. See, it's nothing to come inside of the house. We got some great things going. We got a powerful worship pastor. We got a worship team that is powerful. We got some great things going on. The church is beautiful and the seats are comfortable and all of that good stuff. We got some noisy kiddos and it's a thriving church. But listen, that's easy. That's easy. You can go to a number of churches all over the city. And that's what a lot of people do. They go from church to church, place to place, church to church, place to place. And then they find the right church that's going to challenge them. And then they say, this is definitely not the church I need to be at. So they go and find another church and another church. And they never figure out what real sacrifice is all about. Sacrifice hurts. But you know what else about sacrifice I've learned? It means death. Were the animals that they sacrificed on the altar in Old Testament scripture, were they still alive after they were sacrificed? Did those little birdies and oxen or whatever, did they get up and say, oh, I'm glad this is done. Give me my check. No. Those things were dead. When they do a wave offering with that piece of meat, that animal is dead. If you're going to be a living sacrifice for God, you got to die. I have to die. I have to give myself spiritually to the Lord and say, God, listen, go ahead and kill me on the altar spiritually so that I can be resurrected and live for you. That's what baptism is all about. Going, symbolizing, going down into the grave and being raised up in the newness of life. But you have to go down in the grave. Some of us are afraid of the grave because in the grave we have to let go of some things. In the grave, we have to let go of some people. In the grave, we have to let go of some habits. Because in order for you to be raised to new life, the grave clothes gotta stay. Amen. How would that look walking around here in life with grave clothes on? What did Jesus tell those people standing there when Lazarus was resurrected from the grave? He said, loose him. And let him go. Some of us need to be loose, but in order to get loose, we have to let go. We have to give up. We have to give ourselves to the kingdom of God. If we're going to follow Christ, get your black suit and black tie ready, because we are going to have to die to ourselves. In other words, we have to get ready for a funeral. A funeral to self, our selfish nature. We have to give it to God. You want your loved ones saved and delivered and set free? You have to give them to God. You can't continue to hold on to them. We talk about a cross. What does the cross represent? Somebody tell me, what does the cross represent? What else does the cross represent? What did the cross represent to Jesus? Death. Sacrifice. It represents also shame, didn't it? What about resentment? Did the cross represent rejection, persecution, and ultimately death? Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice when he hung suspended between heaven and the earth. He was the sacrifice. What did he say? If I be raised up from the earth, I would do what? Draw all men unto myself. Boom. Raised up. When that cross sunk in that ground, rocked back and forth. He was suspended between heaven and earth. He became that sacrifice, the propitiation. He gave himself. And that's why he said, it is finished. I have given my all. I have given my all. When we read Psalm chapter 50, and when we think about it within this context, this is what it says. God says, every animal of the forest is mine. If you're up there, verse 10, yeah, thank you. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle up on 1,000 hills. Next. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls? I want you, this is going to get interesting right here. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Go to the next one. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Go to the next one. And call upon me in the day, this is the last one, of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I want you to get your head around that. God was almost being kind of rude in a sense. Listen, I own everything. I don't need anything from you. Do you really think that I want those old filthy beasts? Do you really think that I need that blood? Do you really think that I need that meat? What was he saying in that passage of scripture? What did he say? He says, instead of giving me all of those things, he says, what I want you to give me is a thank you. Sometimes when we pray and talk to God, it's always about me, 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 me. Instead of saying to God, listen, I thank you, God. I thank you that I have life. I thank you that I have the job that I have. It may not be the best job, but I thank you for it, God. I thank you for everything that you have done for me and everything that you're going to do for me, God. I thank you for the opportunities that I have to pour in somebody else's life and to give myself to those individuals daily. God, I thank you for the place of worship that I have. I thank you for the car that I have. I thank you for the children that I have. In other words, what God is saying, do you think that I need these meager sacrifices? Do you really think that all of this is for me? Do you think that your sacrifice can make me or break me? No, I created this system for you so you could have a relationship with me. You could have faith in me. You could have trust in me. You could find strength in me. That is the reason why God created that religious system that he created. Do we think that this system called the church, in which we worship Sunday after Sunday, was designed for God or for us? Do you really think that God created this for himself? The truth of the matter is, if we stop worshiping God today, if every one of us inside of this house say, God, I don't want to worship you anymore, does that make him any less of God? He is going to be God regardless if you decide to give your life fully to him or not. Listen, what did he tell Elijah? You need to stop throwing that pity party, boy. Listen, I got 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Listen, God don't need us. He'll raise up stones. We need God. So we need to give ourselves to God completely and with everything that is inside of us. Listen, this is, God is not in heaven saying, let's make a deal. God is saying, this is the deal. Either you're going to serve me and worship me with your whole life, or you're not going to serve me and worship me at all. He's not going to receive some half-hearted worship. Here, God, I'm just going to throw you a little change. Here, God, I got this little morsel of this, take this, and I'm going to keep this right here. Isn't that how we really are sometimes? Hello? Come on, God sees our heart. We might as well say, amen, preacher. Get this message over with. As believers, what can we sacrifice? We can sacrifice in prayer. You can give God time in prayer, guys. That's easy. Can I ask you a question? And we're about to wrap it up. Do you think he needs an hour? Or does he need 10 minutes? Or does he need a few minutes? It's not a trick question. For somebody, it may be an hour. For somebody, it may be a couple minutes. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's a minute or an hour. What does matter is the position of the heart. See, because a lot of folk throw away hours that they could have used doing something else because their hearts were not right. It was just throwaway. What else can we offer? What else can we give God? What about our time? What about our time? How many of you know that Living Hope is a thriving church? It's alive and it's well, it's growing, but we desperately need help in areas. If you qualify, if you fit in those areas, and we go through our system of doing things, listen, we desperately need help. I'm just being real. So we need all of your effort, not 10%. Can I talk to you like a leadership team? Because we're all building God's kingdom anyways. See, God doesn't need you to say, well, God, I'm going to use you like stocks and bonds. I'm going to put a little bit over here and a little bit over here, and I'm going to put a whole lot right here. God needs everything to run even keel. He's wanting you to be just as dedicated in prayer as you are in time spent. Do you hear me? Am I making sense this morning? Amen. You guys are awful quiet. I must be preaching really good. What about our attendance? Does God need our attendance? Does God desire our attendance? If we're going to build, I know it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but no, God desires for us to give ourselves completely to Him. And how do we give ourselves sacrificially to God? We participate in the things of God. Amen. Do we ever miss work? I'm just gonna miss. Some of us do. What happened when you do too many times? Yeah. I know this is not your job, but this is the kingdom of God. You know what? We should be completely head over heels in love with coming to the house of God. That's what, not just because I'm a pastor, but this is my life. This has been my life before I became a preacher. I love to come to the house of God. I love to rub shoulders with God's people. You know why? If no more than I gain something from it, I gain insight. I feel what real love feels like. Why? Because the people of God, we have the Spirit of God. The agape love is inside of us. We may not act it out always because we're not perfect people. But when a stranger comes inside of this house, what should they feel when they come inside of our church? And what should we be giving? Love. So we need to make sure that we are coming and attending God's house. I have known some people with cancer and sicknesses and things like that. And guess where they're at every Sunday and every Wednesday? In the house of God. Why? It's not because they couldn't stay at home and moan and groan in pain. They did it because something inside of them resonates with what is going on there. And it's like a longing to be there. Am I beating up on anybody this morning? Do you feel beat up on this morning? No. I'm just trying to help us all get to the place where we are givers more than takers. And I want to close with this. If we're going to go ahead and wrap the service up this morning. Have you ever noticed that individual? They may be here in our service today. You may look at that individual and say, man, how do they even make it to church? How? I see them walking, barely walking. Come on, church, let's say amen. I see them barely walking, getting into the house of God. Something about them that I need. They're givers. That's a giver. when you roll out of bed and your body is racking with hurting with pain and you don't know if you're going to be able to make it or not, but something inside of you, instead of saying, let's go to the hospital, let's go to the emergency room, just get me inside of the house of God so that I can lift up my hands and worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, we need to be cheerleaders for those kind of people and say, come on in. Can I help you with anything? How can I give myself to you today? Listen, church, listen, we need to get excited about God and stop just being spectators and say, God, I want to get on the court. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my whole life to you, God. I want to be that one that the world says that is a weirdo, that is a fanatical person. I want to be that one that when I walk past people, that the very shadow begins to heal people and set people free and deliver them. The only way we're going to get there, church, if we become sacrificial, self-sacrificing. Greatest basketball player, do you think Michael Jordan could have ever made a shot with his eyes closed if he never practiced free throws? How are we going to become better givers? See, some of us may be here today and be like, Pastor, that was a very tough message, and you really expect us to live up to that message? Yes! You want to be a better golf player? Go play golf with Deacon Ken. He'll get you there. But also, if you want to learn how to be a better prayer, hang out with Deacon Ken. If you want to learn how to be a better servant, hang out with Deacon Phil. His last name means servant. The list can go on and on and on and on about the people of God inside of this house. But can I tell you this morning, you will never get there if you don't ever practice. You want to give more yourself? Do it. You want to serve the kingdom of God? Do it. Now is the time. The clock in the Sunday school room says now is the time. Don't wait tomorrow for what you could do today. Tomorrow's not promised. We might as well be sold out and crazy in love with Jesus today. You listen, we are on a honeymoon right now with Jesus. Eventually, we're going to go home and be with him forevermore. We give ourselves to him. If you'll stand this morning. See, some of us here this morning, man, we're hurting, we're broken, and we feel like we don't have anything to give. Some of us here this morning, we're just here feasting, and that's great. Some of us here this morning, we are natural givers, and sometimes some of us, we give too much. The things that really doesn't matter. We're givers. God is wanting to channel your giving this morning. God is wanting to bring a balance to how we give this morning. I promise you, as sure as God lives, God is wanting to bring balance in every one of our lives. God is wanting all of us to be givers. God is wanting all of us to sacrifice ourselves to build his kingdom. And this morning, if you made yourself available, Spirit is saying, you'll say, God, I don't understand everything, but I hear your spirit knocking on my heart this morning, and I want to be that giver. I want to be that individual that gives myself completely to you. The reality is this: those who have been forgiven understands that on that day when we gave our hearts to Jesus, grace collided with guilt. You were guilty. I was guilty. But grace and guilt collided in the courtroom of life, where you and I were all found guilty and deserving death. Jesus, the spotless Lamb, came in that day and paid the unpayable debt that we could not afford, and gave his life so that we can live. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify or give God your entire life. Glorify him with your body. In order to glorify God with your body, that means you have to give God your body. You have to give God your life. You have to give God your everything. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. You have to say, God, here I am, as flawed as I am. God, I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy. And I'm going to make a whole lot more of mistakes. God, but I need you. I desire you. I want to live for you. I give myself to you, God. I know I got some habits I need to let go. And I know I got some things that I need to do. I know I need to forgive some people. But God, today I surrender. I give my life to you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, listen, I surrender. I surrender. Guess you slip your hand up today. Yes. If you're here today and you put your hands down. If you're here today and if you have walked away from God, haven't been giving yourself to him. If you're walking in sin away from God, and you've given yourself again to the world, and you're tired of living like that, listen, God is not asking for you to be perfected, to be perfect, but God is asking for your hand in matrimony. Relationship with him, there's forgiveness. In a relationship with him, there's love. In a relationship with him, there's grace and there's mercy. If you won't accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, will you slip your hand this morning? Raise your hand high. Now is the time. Today is the day to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. If you're here today and there are things that you're struggling with in your life, and you know that it's taken away from you, it's hindering you giving what God is requiring, that you raise your hand this morning. I see all those hands. I'm going to move this pulpit out of the way. Listen, I know that the altar is just another spot in the church, but I believe that the altar is a place where we surrender, where we surrender and we lay it before God. This church is a safe place. And if you don't feel like this is a safe place, you need to talk to me and let me know why you don't feel like this is a safe place. And we can make it a safe place for you. If you raise your hand for any of those things, I'm going to move this out of the way. And as Monica began to play,
Living Hope Assembly of God.